And when his friends realized how brave he had been, they welcomed him back into the box, and he was the happiest crayon in the whole world. The end. Time for sleep now. Hello. My name is Michael Spicer. Welcome. I'm having to be a bit quiet at the moment because I'm lying on the floor of my son's bedroom next to their bunk bed. This is a flashback we're currently in. It's June the 25th, 2019, and I'm waiting for my youngest son, Robin, to fall asleep. At the moment, he's staring vacantly at the slats in the bed above where his older brother Sam sleeps, and he's in a sort of half-asleep haze at the moment, so and he seems to be muttering something about Lego, so he's almost there. You see, I made a deal with myself that if my son fell asleep fairly quickly, I would film a sketch that I'd written that day. As luck would have it, he did. So I did.
On your personal lifestyle, what do you do to relax? What do you do to switch off?
Don't
just sit there saying nothing. Say something. You paint,
like
you make things.
Paint. I make things.
Say something, you vase of wank. Don't just sit there saying nothing.
I have a thing where I make models of...
sheep, cars, fried eggs.
When I was in like, Mare...
No, shut up, I've got it. Buses, say buses, right now, say buses.
Buses.
You make models of buses.
I make models of buses.
No, you don't. That's so stupid. You don't make models of buses.
So what I do... No, what I do make models of buses, what I make is...
Tables, laptops, cushions, sofas, crates. Wooden crates.
Wooden crates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's it. Old wooden crates. And you paint them.
And I paint them. I suppose it's a wine... It's a box that's been used to contain two wine bottles, right?
No, don't mention wine, you massive fart.
But before I recorded that first Room Next Door sketch, I had to continue lying here, under the glow of an elephant-shaped nightlight, waiting for my son to drift off, with only the radio show bunk bed to keep me company on my wireless headphones.
What was the thing you invented?
National Repression Day.
Exactly. National Repression. How'd you get on with that?
Too many people with stories to tell, Patrick.
The only problem with listening to bunk bed whilst lying next to a bunk bed is that it momentarily feels as if my two young sons are Peter Curran and Patrick Marber.
You'd really look for cross-marketing opportunities.
Yeah.
Something that would go with, like, a double up with Repression.
That's a good point, Peter.
Yeah. Thank you.
And mass-marketed whimsy is an awful thing.
You're not a whimsical person then, Michael.
Oh, I am. And I hope my show is. I don't like things such as blimpy blompy ukulele music in advertising and beanbags in estate agents.
Yeah, show them no mercy. What is your show about?
It's about how a fairly ordinary person.
You obviously.
Who does comedy on the side suddenly becomes a global internet sensation, and it explores the notion of what happens when a man with an uneventful life and a lot of anxiety issues suddenly finds himself in the public eye.
It doesn't sound very whimsical.
No, but you being in my flashback is.
Well, that's true. As a radio presenter, I dream of hovering in the laborious memory of a stand-up comedian.
I'm an internet comedian.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. Sensation.
Speaking of which, I've got this career-defining sketch to record, so... Well, straight after I've loaded the dishwasher.
Is that a metaphor, the dishwasher thing?
No. No, I just have to load the dishwasher. Most of this is based on real life, you know. That's where the best stories come from, so...
Oh, thanks for the tip. The imagination is overrated, though, compared to the thrills of listening to personal testimony, like loading the dishwasher.
That's a bit harsh, Peter.
I mean, your imagination, Michael. It's nothing to do with me.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, by the end of the evening, eventually, I would be posting my first Room Next Door sketch, hoping that my small but dedicated band of Twitter followers would like and share it.
Are you doing tea after you've loaded the dishwasher?
I will be, yes.
Can I have it in my big cup?
Yes, yes you can.
A tiny bit more honey in it than usual?
Yes, dear.
Because if it's in my big cup, I'll need a bit more.
Need a bit more honey. Yeah, got it.
How was the weekly meeting today?
Long.
Gordon always starts the meeting by saying, let's keep it short this week, we've all got lots to do. And then we proceed to have exactly the same length of meeting as we've had for the past 9.5 years. 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Oh, dear. Well, see you in a bit then.
Yeah, see you in a bit.
That was my wife, Roberta. Or rather, it isn't. It's the comedian and actor, Ellie Taylor, because my real wife isn't an actor and didn't want to be in this. Also, I didn't want to jeopardise my chance at Radio 4 by filling my show with amateurs. Not that I'm a professional. Yet. I have a normal job. In an office. With people. I'm a copywriter for a kitchen worktop company. There's nothing I don't know about sparkly granite. Not that there is much to know about sparkly granite. It sparkles, that's it, really.
Right, let's keep it short this week. We've all got lots to do. Josephine, why don't you kick off?
Thank you, Gordon. Well, I'm sorry to say, but this is about the debacle surrounding Stuart's birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, God, not Stuart's birthday on Tuesday. I thought this was dealt with. Stuart doesn't give a flying fig anyway. He's leaving in 2 weeks. Only fusspots like Josephine care about the minutiae of office protocol. They're the ones who put up signs in the toilets about how to use the lavatory brush and do PowerPoint presentations about teaspoon theft.
On Wednesday morning, Kerry sent an email to everyone in the office except Stuart, saying the following.
Oh, God, she's printed the emails.
Hi, all. Can I just check something? Did everyone forget Stuart's birthday yesterday? If so, we need to get him something today at lunchtime, like a cake or a selection of cakes. Kind regards, Kerry.
This is like treading on a nail in slow motion.
Henry responded with, isn't it the office tradition that a colleague whose birthday it is bring in their own cake or cakes? To which Michael replied, so who are we going to nominate to go up to Stuart and say, hi Stuart, sorry about forgetting your birthday yesterday. You owe us a cake or cakes. 2 points. First of all, it seems to me that some people in the office aren't taking staff morale as seriously as they should.
And so it goes on. No one at this table knows that I'm going to do a sketch tonight. They probably think that it's weird. They probably think I'm weird. Oh, wait. I am a bit weird. So they're right about that.
You've gone what, sorry?
Viral. Last night, that sketch I did before I came to bed last night, 500,000 people watched it. Gary Lineker retweeted it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he added 3 crying emojis.
Crying emojis?
Oh, crying, laughing, you know.
Oh, right, nice, yeah. Where's the lid for Robin's lunchbox?
The dishwasher.
Oh, yeah. So, what is it?
What's what?
The sketch.
What? Oh, you haven't watched it?
I've considered it.
Right, well, it's about an interview Boris Johnson gave yesterday.
Oh, a bit of satire. That's a nice change.
Satire? No, it's not satire, not really.
But it's about Boris Johnson, you said?
Yes, but it's not about his politics. It's about his cripes, gosh, bim, bum, whiff, waff, union, jack, biddly, bum personality.
Well, can you separate the two?
Isn't
one linked to the other? Like, presumably, his brand of politics doesn't work without the cripes, gosh, bim, bum, biddly, bum, whatever personality attached to it.
I don't really know. You'd have to ask a satirist, I suppose.
So what happens next?
With what?
Well, put it this way. Should I keep looking for a job?
Oh, God, yes. Sorry, I should have mentioned Roberta quit her job as a project manager a fortnight ago due to a lack of investment, which is also playing on my mind.
Whoa, that information is a bit sensitive.
Sorry, I just thought they should know.
Well, I'm not sure they should know. This programme is about you, not me.
You're taking the role of my wife very seriously, aren't you?
Well, I did shadow her for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that did feel a bit excessive, by the way. I mean, we put you up for the whole time.
That's just how I prepare for a role.
Well, that's fine, but you used up my favourite bubble bath and you didn't replace it.
Just get back to
yes,
what we
yes,
were talking
about. Yes, sorry. I guess this kind of exposure is the epitome of Andy Warhol's prediction that everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes.
Andy, I need a few lines from you to put in the programme for your new exhibition. Any ideas?
Yes. Take this down. In the future, everyone will film their cat falling off a sideboard and making a funny yowling sound. And then they'll post it on social media and turn it into a meme. And that will make them world famous for 15 minutes.
That's too long. How about in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes?
But but you've left out my stunningly accurate prediction of how things will be in the future.
It's too long, Andy.
Fine.
Okay, well, you'd better hurry up. You've only got 14 minutes left.
Well, any ideas?
Boys, put your shoes on now, please. I won't tell you again.
Roberta.
I don't know. Why don't you talk to the local newspaper? I could put you in touch with Marianne. She did a great piece about the potholes on Roman Road and the potholes on Mill Lane, just off Roman Road, actually.
I'm not sure she'd find me interesting.
Why not?
Because I'm not a pothole.
Look, if she can make a double-page spread on sunken tarmac riveting, I'm sure she could do something with you. Leave it with me. Come on, we've got to go. Boys, will you put your shoes on now, please? I will not tell you again.
Right, well, I'm off to work now because I'm not shrewd enough to understand how to monetize my comedy online. Bye! Why is there a hat on my desk?
Could you take a name out of it, please? It's for Secret Santa.
It's June.
There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. Plus, it means people can't duck out of it this year if they've got sufficient time to find a gift.
The reason I duck out of Secret Santa is because I'm the quiet, unsociable one in the office, Josephine. I think we've established that now after 9.5 years. And the quiet, unsociable one doesn't take part in Secret Santa. Nor does the quiet, unsociable one bring in donuts on Friday, go to anyone's leaving drinks, join the company football team, or sing along to the office radio every time Total Eclipse of the Heart comes on.
Plus, all receipts should be kept with any purchase, of course.
Of course. Well, it's lunchtime, so I'll take care of this when I get back, if that's okay.
Well, it would save time if you did it now.
I promise I'll be back before Christmas.
Really? Yeah, only I've timed your lunch hours in the past, and you're very creative with the hour part.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So do it now.
Every lunchtime, I would go for a walk rather than join the others in the Duke's Head for a ham sandwich and a pint. Walking at lunchtime in the Kent countryside was so important. The only downside is that because you don't want to go back to work, you end up walking a little bit further each day until one afternoon you're in the middle of a field standing next to a massive pylon with only 5 minutes to return to the office. Oh, excuse me, it's my wife, played by the actor and comedian Ellie Taylor. Hello, dear.
Hello. Just thought I should break up your monologue before it went on too long.
Was that the only reason you called?
No. I've just heard from Marianne regarding doing a piece for you for the local newspaper.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, she doesn't want to do a piece about you for the local newspaper.
Oh.
Oh, never mind. I haven't given up. Leave it with me.
Roberta, if the local newspaper isn't interested, where else is there to go? I've been officially rejected by a paper that covers Ashford and Romney Marsh. If a heron dies, it's front page news.
Oh, well, let's not be bitter.
I'm 42 years old, I've never been commissioned, and I'm looking enviously at a pylon. I choose to be bitter.
Look, can I just join you in this scene? I hate being a distorted voice on a pretend phone call.
Fine.
Oh. Ooh, that's better. Oh, this is nice. What a beautiful sunny day.
Yes, but remember, this is a flashback. It's only a beautiful sunny day because I can't remember the clouds.
Fair enough. Now, listen. You've taken knockbacks like these in the past, and you've just gotten on with it. And I've never said this before, but I'm in awe of how you just carry on going, despite the constant knockbacks. Week after week, knockback after knockback.
Can you stop saying knockback?
This country is crying out for satire.
But I'm not a satirist.
Yes, you are. You just don't know it. And that's the best kind of satirist. Think about it. You've created a satirical alter ego to channel your own frustration. Usually you're really, I don't know, placid, insular, but this room next door man, he's frustrated and fired up and angry. He's like all of us when we've watched too much news. I think it's got legs, don't you?
Not really. Look, the sketch went viral and that was nice, but nothing substantial ever comes from these brief moments of notoriety on social media.
Well, I haven't given up, even if you have.
Look, perhaps your time is better spent finding yourself a job rather than trying to help me quit mine.
Oh, do you think that's what this is about? That I'm just using you as a distraction?
No, I'm saying I'm a lost cause. I'm in my 40s. Good things don't happen to men in their 40s. That's the decade when internal organs start to fail, the flabby bits get flabbier, and you start to wear combat trousers again, thinking they're both stylish and practical.
Oh, will you please get over yourself? You sound like one of those whining male dimwit columnists who look like potatoes and who complain every week in a national newspaper that their voice isn't being heard. You've got to keep believing in yourself.
Roberta, much as I'd like you to be Patrick Swayze, this is not Dirty Dancing. This is real life. Sort of. And if you're doing this because you're harbouring a tiny feeling of regret about quitting, then maybe you should...
I do not have any regrets about quitting. I am glad I quit.
Okay, it was a job I loved, but I had to quit on principle. We were promised funds we never got. I had to quit on principle. On principle, I had to quit.
Okay.
I had to quit on principle.
Okay.
Look, don't bring my problems into this. I'm just trying to help. I'll see you back at the house.
Did you just slam a door in the middle of a field?
I'm conveying my frustration with your negative attitude.
Yes, I know, but...
But what?
No, nothing. It's fine. It's fine. It's a bit weird, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sounds good. All right, I'll have a look at that tonight. Did you say it was on Netflix? Okay. Yeah, I'll give that a go. Thanks, Nina. Chris likes anything with werewolves, so... Yeah, just plodding along here, you know, the usual.
The usual.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lev. All right, talk to you in a bit. Bye. You heard of this thing on Netflix about werewolves?
I have heard of the thing on Netflix about werewolves, but I don't want to talk about the thing on Netflix about werewolves because I'm deep in the middle of a particularly cringe-inducing period of self-pity. My career outside of this damn office so far has been a series of script rejections, viral tweets and bad commercials. Even Newsjack have asked me to stop sending them stuff. Right now, I'd even be an Arthanzimore.
What's Arthanzimore?
It's the thing on Netflix about werewolves.
Oh, right. Come on, boys. Clothes off into the bath, please. Now, come on. And Sam, put the lightsaber down. Daddy will be furious if you start a Clone War without him. How's the Boris Johnson sketch going, by the way?
25,000 likes, 1 million views.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm. Sorry about being a bit, you know.
It's all right.
It's just, sometimes I feel like I am Boris Johnson.
Why?
I think I have two halves of my brain in constant battle with one another so that when I open my mouth, I'm not sure if I even agree with myself. And every time I write something, I think, this is it. You know, this will make people sit up and take notice. This will start to earn me a living. But then I park up at work every morning and I think, no, this is it. This is the limit to my contribution on Earth, writing pithy taglines about quartz worktops and engaging in passive-aggressive small talk with a 55-year-old woman who every Wednesday wears a fleece with a Dalmatian on it.
But that's who you are. And that's why I married you.
No, it wasn't. It's because I remind you of Richard Ayoade.
So, I've got another idea to capitalise on the Boris thing.
How?
Well, you know Angela...
Angela.
Angela with the two girls, Angela.
Angela with the two girls, Angela.
Are you just going to keep repeating me to cover up the fact you've got no idea who I'm talking about?
Yes.
So, she lives on Mill Lane. Anyway, I remember her mentioning the other week on Facebook that she's taken up hang gliding.
Okay.
And who should be in her hang gliding colour?
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Why do you always say Phoebe Waller-Bridge when I ask you to guess someone?
No reason. It's because I really want to meet Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Don't break the fourth wall to talk about Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Sorry.
It's Emma Barnett.
Emma Barnett? From Five Live?
She thinks so. Yeah, she's not 100% sure because she hasn't plucked up the courage to talk to her yet.
Right. And so what?
Join the club. It's only over by Chilham.
You want me to join a hang gliding club on the off chance someone who might be Emma Barnett may book me for her show?
Yes. That's exactly what I want you to do.
Roberta, can I remind you that I not only have a pathological fear of heights, but I'm also allergic to synthetic sailcloth.
I'm not saying you have to be their star pupil. Just go a couple of times and survey the situation. What have you got to lose?
My hair, control of my bladder, lots of blood. There's three things.
Oh, see now, this is important, Michael. I've given you an opportunity here. At the moment, you've got nothing. No leads, not a sausage. You've not exploited your 15 minutes at all. All you've been doing today is wallowing near a pylon. Snap out of it and go hang gliding with Emma Barnett. That's an order.
Oh, come on, Roberta. Can you really imagine me hang gliding in the sky with Emma Barnett?
Wow, I've never seen anyone take to hang gliding as well as you. Is this really your first time?
Yes, it is. I must admit I'm surprising myself, Emma. Perhaps this is a new leaf for me. Perhaps I should put myself forward for more things outside of my comfort zone.
Bless you.
Thank you. Zone.
So what do you do when you're not discovering a natural talent for recreational air sport?
Well, I'm a comedian, actually.
Oh, really?
Well, no, not really.
Oh.
No, I'm a copywriter, but I've always wanted a career in comedy, and a few days ago a sketch of mine was shared all over the UK on Twitter.
Oh, well, we should have you on my show.
Really?
Yes, we're always interested in positive, upbeat stories about good fortune happening to life's losers.
Oh, well, that's...
What's the sketch about?
Well, it occurred to me that people are just crying out for satire in this country, so I decided to make a little satirical skit.
Very interesting. Well, look, when we get back down, I'll give you my producer's number and we can set something up.
Well, that would be amazing. Thank you so...
Bless you.
Thank you. Much.
Are you allergic to something up here?
No.
It's just your eyes have sort of puffed up too.
No, it's fine. My eyes tend to puff up when I'm having a really good time.
Well, just make sure you can see the trees ahead.
Well, I can't really see anything beyond my own eyelids now.
Oh, my God.
So...
Pull up. Oh. Jeez.
Ow.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you, Emma.
Are you sure? You really look like you've broken your leg.
No, I haven't. This scene is only a perceived idea of how I imagine the meeting between you and me might go down. No pun intended. Ow.
Then why did you imagine crashing?
I don't know, really. Probably just my anxious subconscious visualising the worst possible outcome.
Oh, yes, I do appear in a lot of anxiety dreams. MPs, mainly. Speaking of which, Rory Stewart's about to have one featuring me and his old headmaster in a minute, so I'd better be off.
Oh, OK. Thanks for taking part.
No, we enjoyed the werewolves. We thought the werewolves were good. We just thought there were too many werewolves. Oh, yes, we'll stick with it. Always takes a few episodes for something to really get going, doesn't it? Particularly if you're introducing two feuding families of mythological werewolves.
Oh, who am I kidding? Emma Barnett wouldn't be interested in talking to me just because I did something that was shared on social media. If that were the case, you'd be interviewing dogs every week. No, let's just draw a veil over this. Add it to the list of moments when I've made the UK chuckle for 30 seconds and move on with my life. Besides, this press release about our new range of granite worktops isn't going to write itself. Although if you fed all the keywords into a computer, it probably could write itself. Quite easily. Best not tell Gordon.
And he said he'd be happy to have a female successor as long as she was attractive. Yes, I know.
Oh, what is she talking about now?
I have to say, of all people, I did not expect that of the Dalai Lama.
The what?
Hold on, Nina. The Dalai Lama, in an interview today, he said... I'll just send you the link.
And that is when it hit me. Roberta was right. The room next door doesn't have to be a one-off. It could have legs, potentially lots of legs. My character could be there whenever anyone with a high profile humiliates themselves on the public stage. I skipped the walk in the fields that lunchtime and I wrote the next Room Next Door sketch. All I needed was my son to fall asleep quickly that evening so I could film it. Luckily, he had PE. Oh, thank God for Friday afternoon PE. But maybe it wasn't luck or God. Maybe it was the stars aligning for me.
No, it was just luck.
Sorry, this is me as narrator now, so...
So what?
Well, you can't enter the narrator's sphere. It undermines the position.
Narrator's sphere. 27 minutes on Radio 4 and he thinks he's Hilary Mantel.
It's just confusing to have you here.
You haven't mentioned yet how accommodating and understanding your wife is being as you spend another evening making a sketch instead of enjoying something on Netflix about werewolves with her.
Well, I did mention that earlier, but I had to cut it out.
Charming.
Well, I can't waste a line. This script needs to be tight.
Well, this bit feels a bit baggy.
Yes, and not wanting to point the finger here, but whose fault is that?
Yours.
You once said that you would be open to a female successor.
Yep, that's possible.
That also possible.
You also told one of my colleagues that female must be attractive, otherwise it's not much use.
Oh, mate, you didn't. All right, just deny that.
Okay, yes.
Can you see why that comment upset a lot of women?
Yes, you can. Of course you can. If we get a female Dalai Lama, it doesn't matter if she's attractive. I don't know what I was thinking.
More attractive if female Dalai Lama. Oh, God.
What are you doing? I can't see what you're doing. Are you making that face? Don't make that face again.
Can you see why a lot of women, though, found that quite offensive?
Yes.
I think they themselves... I think...
All right, just be quiet, be quiet. Just say real beauty is inner beauty, you know, the sort of thing that you've been saying for the past 83 years.
Spend some money for makeup.
Mate, it doesn't matter if your successor goes to Boots. Just say real beauty is inner beauty.
Real beauty is inner beauty.
Thank you.
But we human beings...
No, there's no but, you're done.
I think the appearance is also important.
Oh, all right, we're done. You're on your own, Hugh Hefner.
And when his friends realised how brave he had been, they welcomed him back into the box, and he was the happiest crayon in the whole world. The end. So here I am again, waiting for my youngest to fall asleep so I can film the sketch that you just heard.
Are they asleep?
Or just about? Sorry I didn't actually follow through on the Emma Barnett thing.
Oh, that's okay. It was a long shot anyway.
And, you know, putting myself forward, it's just not me, is it?
No, Michael.
Who was that on the phone earlier?
Oh, I've been offered a job.
Oh, right. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Who's it with?
Waterman's.
But that's who you used to work for?
Yeah.
What's the job?
Project manager.
So your old job?
Well, no, it's... Yes.
Right, but I thought you quit on principle.
Well, they've assured me that if I come back, they'll have the budgets I need. They need me.
Okay, but haven't we been here before?
Yes, we have, but they've promised me it'll be different this time. Plus, they've offered me more money.
Oh.
Which means that you could... You going to answer that?
I never answer my phone, you know that. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say you could, I don't know, conceivably, do fewer hours a week at your job. So you'd have more time to work on your comedy.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, it's regular income. I mean, I know I complain about it a lot, but if I didn't have it, I mean, the mortgage, it's just, and the children, it's just, I don't know. No.
Well, it's just something to think about.
It is something to think about, to overthink about. I mean, it's all I've ever wanted, but what if I do it and it doesn't work out? Or what if I do it and it does work out? I mean, it's a risky business comedy. Yes, I want it. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a writer. But these careers are so fragile and unpredictable. And you know what isn't fragile and unpredictable? The kitchen worktop business. People might get fed up with me, but they'll never get fed up with a solid quality walnut block laminate worktop.
Michael, this is Emma Barner. Angela passed your number on to me. I believe you know her. Anyway, I think you make a great guest on my show. Give me a call back. I've got to go now. I'm being pursued by a hawk. Bye!
Michael Spicer, Before Next Door, was written and performed by Michael Spicer, with Ellie Taylor, Joanna Neary, Peter Curran and Emma Barnett. The producer was Matt Tiller, and it was a Starstruck production for BBC Radio 4.